Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. In America, we say tic-tac throw. All right, never mind. We're going to do it again. Okay. Heavens Devils podcast. All right. Starting now. Heavens Devils.
I'm keeping all this in.
God. Okay. Heavens Devils podcast. In America, we say tic-tac-toe, three in a row. Okay, no, you can't keep this in. All right, keeping it in.
No, that's perfect. You were going, we're keeping it in, whatever. That was
I'm going to say it.
No, okay.
Heavens Devils podcast. In America, we say tic-tac-toe, three wins in a row. The UK, it's knots and crosses. FGR, League Two bosses, let's go!
I gotta give it to you. That was worth the wait. Also, shout out to Caitlin Bennett.
Hey.
Taught us about knots and crosses, Newport County.
County.
That was worth the wait, Shimmy. All right.
So bad. Models, we gonna get it litty. They love when it's
run a circle in the city. I got the coop for the AMG. I love it. Shimmy, unlike this podcast, what a start to the season.
Yes, I know.
What a start to the season.
I know.
As rocky as this podcast started, the season is the opposite. Massive win up in Walsall. We'll talk all about that in a minute, Shimmy. Big episode today, though, Shims. Big episode. We have goal scorer and the assist man and EFL League 2 Team of the Week and my man of the match, my captain, your captain, our captain. He's a bad mamma jamma. Jameer Matt is on the pod, baby.
Just a man with too many superlatives attached to that name. But, oh, what a pleasure to always speak with Jamma.
Amen to that. Oh, man. And we also have the return of Kip Kowalski, Tony Graw down in the Bayou, and Jameel Matt, who joins the... Oh, no, not Jameel Matt. Sorry.
Leo Mobberly
joins as a new reporter. So look out for that, slash be ready to fast forward and skip that part.
Yeah, where are we getting all this money from, Nathan? Do we have the budget for three different commentators? This is a lot of dark money flowing through this podcast.
We're going to edit that out. No one's supposed to know about that, Sean. No one's supposed to know about the dark money that's in the money laundering scheme that this podcast is. Before we get to Kip, Tony, and Jamma, let's talk about Walsall.
Looking for real friends.
Real friends.
How many of us? How many of us are
first,
real
Shimmy?
Friends?
It was so beautiful. So beautiful to see fans back in the ground, Shimmy. I was chatting with Tom Carter through WhatsApp and Instagram. I was following his away day Instagram story. Shimmy, just made me so jealous. Like away days in the UK.
I know.
Just the best, yeah. Like the best. Like you get some beers, you get on the train, you head up, maybe you go to night early, stay in a hotel, get some, you know, explore the area's restaurants, and then you go to the game and you sing and you dance and you whatever and you hug Rob Edwards at the end, you take a picture with him. Oh my goodness, it's like the best. It's like the best experience, Shimmy.
Yes.
Overall.
So jealous.
Yeah, man. We're gonna live that though. One of these days we are doing an away day. Or multiple away days in the UK, and I cannot wait. And just overall, Shimmy, it was just great to see 228 of the Green Army faithful chanting, singing, saying ole with every pass. It was beautiful, Shimmy.
Wait, 228? You sure it wasn't 2,000? Because that's what they sounded like,
Let's
man.
Let's go.
Just loved how they were full-throated. Just loved the celebration at the end when we took the points, too. I don't believe it was 220.
I'm with you. 228, but each man or woman, person,
child man.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, whatever. They sang their hearts out. It didn't sound like a home game for Walsall. It sounded like a home game for us. Like every chant you heard on the TV was like us. Like everything that happened that was good, that was bad. It was all our guys, all our people singing. And so fun to have fans back. So fun to have away days. I can't wait to follow Tom Carter's away day story again next week. Not next week. I don't know what our next... Well, we have a away day Tuesday, but I feel like that's going to get way fewer people. It's a Tuesday night. Anyway, on to the match, Shimmy. On to the match. What a game, Shimmy. 3-1. Dominating win. Scoreline may even flatter Walsall, in my humble, dumb American opinion. We saw in full effect, Shimmy, the suffocating football that Rob Edwards wants to play. It was just absolute domination from the start, Jimmy. Actually, not really from the start. The first 15 minutes, we kind of looked a little rocky.
We grew into the game. We had to grow into the game.
We grew into the game, exactly. And after that first 15 minutes, just nonstop attack. Beautiful passing. Beautiful pressing. Just so fun to watch, Jimmy. Every man did his part. No man played poorly. Our friend Lori Martin from the Pod on Top of the Hill tweeted, only three of Forest Green Rovers' 13 outfield players, including subs, didn't register a shot against Walsall yesterday. That emphasizes their dominance. Perfectly put, except he spelled emphasizes with the S instead of the Z, the British way. Anyway, all around, just all around performance by everyone. And look, if we start off with three losses instead of three straight wins, you know, I don't think we'd be worried either. I think we'd be patient. You know, Rob Edwards is a brand new coach. Gonna take time for, you know, him to grow into it, for players to learn, et cetera, et cetera. But no, Shimmy, Rob Edwards don't need no time, Shimmy. He's firing all cylinders out of the gate. And I know, at some point, we're gonna have a terrible performance. We're gonna have a terrible result. At some point, it's gonna happen. But right now, Shimmy, it's just so hard to envision that.
Yeah, hey, when the times are good, you have to enjoy them. Like you said, the tough times will be ahead. It's a long season. It's a brutal season when you're in League Two. It's a bruising one. So, like, things like injuries and, you know, February, January away days will be there. But, man, we're flying high right now, top of the table. And hey, let's just enjoy the moment and let's keep spurring the lads and the whole community to just keep going.
Amen. Amen, Shimmy. And after the game, it was so beautiful seeing Rob and the team go clap the fans, go meet the fans, go take pictures with the fans. Shimmy, it was beautiful. So many people, you know, tweeted out, or some people actually messaged us pictures of them with Rob after the match. And it was just beautiful just to see him show so much love, so much appreciation to the traveling 228 or 2028, as you said. Just beautiful. Such a breath of fresh air, Shimmy. And by the way, Rob Edwards, last guest on the pod. He was on the last pod, so if you haven't listened to him yet, pause this pod, go back, listen to that one, and then come back and listen to this one, because, oh my goodness, Rob Edwards, just a gem of a human being. He just exudes humility, kindness, empathy, wisdom. Just a brilliant man. And I just feel so lucky that he's our coach, Shimmy, and it's just a privilege, you know. What a privilege it is, and what a privilege it was for us to be able to speak with him. So go listen to that, Shimmy. Man, Shimmy, the vibe right now at the club is just so good. It's so positive. Everything is so positive right now. Things are so good right now. Shimmy, I only know of two men who can ruin that vibe. You know who they are, Shimmy?
No.
No. Any guesses?
Tell me. The first thing that comes to mind is Boris Johnson. Is it Boris Johnson and Boris Johnson? Are they both Boris Johnson?
Yes. You guessed it.
Okay.
Our next guest is Boris Johnson. Let's go. No, of course, I'm talking about Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw.
Tony Graw.
But they are joined this week by a special guest, a very special guest.
Leo Mauberly.
Anyway.
Right?
Leo Mauberly, yes, sir, not Jameel Matt. Leo Mauberly. It might sound an awful lot like Jameel Matt, but it's not. I promise you, it's Leo Mauberly. And then we will get into our chat with captain, goal scorer, assist man, leader, our man of the match, just a human being who's amazing, a hero, Jameel Matt. Talking about what a privilege it was to talk with Rob Edwards, man. What a privilege it was to talk with Jameel Matt, too. Like, one of the most philosophical minds, so deep, but also just... very funny guy too. Just awesome Jameel Matt, Shimmy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a chat. Anyway, all right, let's get to Kip, Tony, and Leo. Take it away, Kip, Tony, and Leo. Kip Kowalski here, and I'm joined by Tony Graw and Leo Mauberly. We go to Walsall, the home of Georgia Smith, Jameel Matt, and a concrete hippopotamus named Hoppy the Hippo. First action in the 20th minute as Regan, the vegan Hendry, crosses in a corner so mindful it rejects the commodity status of animals and eventually finds acrobat just Cirque de Soleil Matt, whose symphony of balance, agility, and motor coordination finds boxer and fellow Matt, Maddie, the Pinewood Pulverizer Stevens, who hits the back of the post like a YouTuber in a boxing match. Goal! The Rovers, the Matt Attack, the Matt Pack, automatic! Call it whatever you want, but don't call them late for dinner. This duo is magical.
Oh, and you got your boy from the bayou, Tony Graw, here.
The Rovers doubled their lead just before halftime with Kano, typical me, Wilson. Teeing up a cross met by the talisman, one half of the A-level Mats, to whom everyone at FGR must pass, who superbly finishes into the host net. But we go marching in like them Saints to the 45 minutes next, where the ex-Rover and sometimes crooner slash Filipino Senate candidate Manny Pacquiao Monte fails E. Boomer Adams, who falls faster than your uncle for a 5G conspiracy on Facebook. Penalty to the Rovers.
Take it away, Leo.
Leo Mobley here. Known Ola artist, the real Dale Jamil, earns his second assist of the day as he holds down the waiting bagman, Matty I. Stevens, who coolly sends the ball across goal, right to bag FGR's third. And Coach Rob Edwards is singing from the windows to the wall, from the windows to the walls, till the sweat drops down these footballs. 3-0 to the Rovers.
Walsall scored a late goal, but nobody cares as the Rovers win this one 3-1. Continuing Bobby Edwards' perfect start. Mama, lay out the silverware and put on the tablecloth because we're top of the table, baby. Woo!
That's where the match day ends, with traveling full screen fans happier than Tony Graal finding a king cake baby on a Mardi Gras morning in New Orleans. Let's go!
Let's go! All right, that's it, Jamba.
All right, Jamba.
Kip, Tony, Leo. Oh, my goodness. Another week's worth of wages well spent, Sean. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I only need to eat 10 meals per week, really, right? Well, worth it for that level of deep analysis.
Okay, so with that, well, first of all, big shout out to Jamma, Jamil, Matt for doing that stupid bit with us.
Oh, Jamma?
What a hero.
Jamma was around? I just thought it was Leo.
Leo. What a hero Leo was, man. All right, with that, let's go to Jamil Matt now, not Leo, to the real deal, Jamil
Only
Matt.
Only one at a time. Both can't exist in the same place. You never see them in the same place, but it's got to be either That's Leo true. Or it's got to be Jamil.
I haven't seen him in the same place. You're right. Oh, man, let's go to this amazing human being that is Jamil Matt. Let's go.
Hey, welcome to the pod, the second pride of Walsall after Hoppy the Hippo. He personifies all that is great about Forest Green Rovers Football Club. He's hardworking, he's humble, genuinely committed to the collective and doing things another way. He's some call him Pajama because he puts matches to bed. Some call him Jamil because he eats goalkeepers for breakfast. Some call him Jamillion Goals because that's how many he would have scored last season if he didn't get injured. We know him as one half of the collective known as A-Level Mats along with Matty Stevens. He's a bad mamma jamma, the captain of the Forest Green Rovers. We welcome back to the pod, baby, the real deal, Jamil Matt. Welcome back, Jamma.
Yeah, welcome, Jamma.
Let's go.
Thanks, you guys. Good to be back again, and thanks for having me again.
Man, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, excellent
man. Hey, congrats on yesterday. What a match,
Jamma. Oh, my goodness.
No, we'll see. Great result for us and the boys, and just buzzing, to be honest, to get another win and another 3 points on the board.
Oh, you'll love to hear it. You'll love to hear it. And you're already focused on Tuesday, which I guess you kind of have to be. That's the brutal thing about League 2, is it's like you get a win, no time to even enjoy it, because like it's like boom, we got another match in a couple of days. It's crazy.
That's it. I think that's just football in general, to be honest. It's like, yeah. You're only as good as your last game, as you know. So you just got to, it's no point in thinking about the win too much. Got to focus on Rochelle on Tuesday now.
Yep.
Exactly. Are you rocking the MJ? Are you rocking the MJ jersey?
Would I be rocking anything else? Come on.
Of course. Got to rock the goat.
Let's go. I love it.
Now, I'll be honest. Well, I grew up obviously like 90s in Jamaica. Back in Jamaica, it's like we watch a lot of American sports.
Yeah.
So my dad and brother used to just always watch Chicago Bulls, and obviously Michael Jordan at the time was obviously the guy. So,
oh yeah, right.
My first kind of memories of or introduction to basketball is just Michael Jordan, and he's always been an inspiration of mine, to be honest. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Perfect.
Same. I mean, same here. I think that's the story of every kid who grew up in the 90s is He's, like,
yeah.
MJ.
We all wanted to be like Mike. We wanted to be like Mike.
Exactly. Yeah.
They nailed it on the head. Gatorade nailed it on the head with that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I had so many Jordan jerseys back in my youth. And I was so mad too, because I don't know if you guys played video games, Jamma, back when you were young, but like NBA I feel Jam, like NBA right? Jam never had Jordan, right?
Yeah.
It never had Jordan. I was so mad about that. It was like always Rodman and Pippen. It's like, no, I want Jordan. I don't want Rodman and Pippen. I want MJ.
Yeah, the anticlimax there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, shall we get into this?
Yeah, ready when you are. And I should say congratulations to you guys. You're the official podcast of Forest Green Rovers now, aren't you? So big congratulations for you guys for the great work you've been doing. Obviously, you've been recognized in that way. So fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jamma.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you and the other lads and Henry and everyone made it happen. Because if you guys didn't agree to suffer us two fools,
that's I don't right. Talk to us there, two so, idiots. Yeah. We wouldn't be here. So. Yeah. That's right.
Stop being so modest. You guys deserve it. Well done.
Well, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jamma. Yeah, man, great to have you back. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. So how are you feeling, Jamma, after that amazing match? Or I should say maybe amazing matches, Jamma, because it's been three in a row. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Jamma.
It's been we couldn't have asked so much more, could we, really, for the start of the season. Three wins out of three, and obviously all the lads are playing really well, and you know, we still got obviously lads to come back in that can add to the team. So yeah, everything's looking really good at the minute. So yeah, can't complain at all.
Oh, that's a great point. I mean, we have guys injured too. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, it's not even like we're a fully fit team right now, and we're still firing on all cylinders. And as we were saying, like, kind of right before we started here, the crazy thing with football is like you don't have much time to enjoy the win, because it's just like turn around. We got another match in a couple days. How do you deal with that, Jamma? How do you like it's got to be psychologically challenging, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is a bit. I think it is psychological, but you learn to deal with it. The more games you play, you kind of, especially with League One, League Two, and the Football League games, they come thick and fast. So once you've played one or two seasons, you kind of understand what it takes to kind of recover from games. I mean, last year was probably one of the toughest ones because of the COVID situation. We started the season a little bit later, so there was a lot of games just 3-4 days apart. So I think if you could deal with last season, which a lot of boys were here did, we'll be fine for this year, of course.
Oh, and I mean, you still got to take time to celebrate, right? So how did you celebrate after like such an amazing match at home too? At home at Walsall, like were your family there?
I had my son was there with his mom and there, so I had the family. My side of the family live in Manchester now, so they weren't there, but so they came to watch, and that was nice, and some friends were there as well. So yeah, that was lovely to have them there to watch. I mean, it was one of the first football stadiums I ever went to as a kid, so that was a nice feeling to see. To the first time I scored there, so that was a nice feeling. But importantly, like I said, for us to get the win was the most important thing.
Of course.
And it sounded a lot like a home match by the end, because the supporters that were traveling were so happy to see them again. Right. The Forest Green Rovers supporters were just so loud in voice. So we were buzzing as well after the match.
Yeah. Oh. And your son must have thought you actually had a good game this time, because you scored.
So, literally, I went to see him after the game on the side, and I said, I scored today, so am I rubbish today? He went, no, you're not rubbish today. You're good now. So that was my biggest celebration today. My son doesn't think I'm rubbish.
I love it. I love it. And the video, you may have seen it. FGR put it out. Beautiful video, you and your son after the game. That was awesome. Awesome stuff. Yeah. You love to see that. We're going to ask you about him in a little bit. But not only did you have a goal, though, you also had not one, but two assists. Because of that penalty, Jamma, it looked like you had the ball, you gave it to Matty Stevens, the second assist. So graciously, so selflessly, Jamma, you had an easy goal coming up to add to your total, and you handed it off to Matty. What was your thinking there?
Yeah, me and Matty had a conversation. I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I said I promised him if we got a penalty, I'd give him ball. I'll be honest, I had second thoughts while I was standing there, but
it's in your head.
Nah, like, listen, I promised it to Matty. I think last season, I think Matty didn't maybe get just the amount of game time he deserved. So I think at the minute he's really confident and flying. So I think if the more goals he can get as early as possible, I think it'll be good. I think I'll always back myself to get goals regardless, and I back Matty to get goals regardless anyway. But I think if the more goals we could both get on the board early doors, then, you know, it builds confidence for ourselves and for the team. So I thought it was a no-brainer, really, just passing the ball, and I know he'd stick it away.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you and Matty Stevens, a.k.a. the Matt Attack, a.k.a. the Matt Pack, a.k.a. A-Levels Matt. Matt's, I guess. I don't know. We're workshopping these. Nickname still in development. But you two are, man, you two have been outstanding together. Like, you formed this incredible partnership in just a few games. You know, what are you guys talking about out there on the field? Like, what are you guys trying to do together? What's kind of the strategy, the game plan that you guys are working with together?
I think obviously with the gaffer, the way he's come in, and he wants us to get the ball back quick as possible if we lose it. So I think that's a massive part of especially Matty's game, I think, and something obviously I've got in my game, maybe not as strong a point for me as it is for Matty. So I think that's something that we first and foremost have to work hard off the ball. And I think if we do that for the team, then there'll always create chances for us. And I think both of us are those kind of strikers. If you give us a chance in the box, then we'll like to stick it away. So yeah, we just kind of, we're always in and around each other, and I always try to tell him to stay close, and he's the same with me. So if the ball comes in and he's the first man, I'm normally second man, and vice versa. And like you said, it's good that we're both getting amongst the goals at the minute.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Great presence of mind for you too. Like, you're proving why you're worthy of the captaincy. It's like, you know, everybody wants to get goals. You had on track last season, the best season of your career. But you're willing early in the season to make sure that your strike partner is also feeling that confidence and seeing that ball bulge the net. So, man, just awesome to see that and hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, like I've said before, I don't think I'm just about goals. I think there's more to my game than just goals. I think obviously I like to bring others into play. But then at the same time, you've got to think of there's players. We've got players like Jake Young, obviously he hasn't played a lot so far at the minute. And Youngie's a very talented player. And he'll get his chance to play and score goals, which I'm sure he will, because he's probably, I'd probably say, the most natural goal scorer in the squad, to be honest. And same with Marchie. So Marchie will come in, and Marchie will be work his socks off, and Marchie showed last year when he went out along to Harrogate, he can score goals. So it bodes well for the squad that we've got players that can score goals and strikers that can score goals.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Jam. Oh, just the selflessness. That is why you're captain. We're going to talk a little bit about your game in a little bit. I want to move to a game. An actual game. We're going to play a game, you versus Sham, in just a second. But first, I got to give you guys both some condolences for Friday, guys. I'm sorry about Arsenal.
Yeah. Nathan, we don't talk about that. Let's keep it moving.
Well, luckily, exactly. Luckily, you both have the mighty Forest Green Rovers on Saturday.
Yeah.
Never let you down.
Immediate lifting of the spirits there. You know, Arsenal may not get the results, but whatever the result, we're going to look fly doing it. So...
Yeah,
so the third kid is fired. So that was one win on Friday, at least.
And that might have to be our trophy for this season as third kid. So
yeah.
Yeah, so true, so true.
Yeah,
well, laughing so I don't cry quality, right now.
You make up for in style, that's for sure. All right, let's get to a little game here, Jamma versus Sham. So here's the deal. I'm gonna describe some characteristics of a person. It's a general person, not like a specific person, not like, you know, Tom, whatever. It's a general person. So your job is to guess who is this person that I'm referring to. And so I'm going to give you a clue, and clue by clue, I just want to hear your thoughts after each clue. So hear your line of thinking. At the end, I'll ask you who you think this person is. Whoever gets it right wins. In the event of a tie, Jamma wins. Sorry, Sham. Here we go. All right. So
it is.
First clue here. First clue. This person always shows up way too early to the airport. Maybe I'll give you a couple clues so you can start mulling it over. But this person always shows up way too early to the airport. This person only knows how to make one meal that doesn't involve a grill. This person tips poorly. Do you guys tip in the UK?
Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
When I lived in Europe, I lived in Greece, and nobody tips there. I was like... My first time in a restaurant there, the waitress like chased me out of the restaurant because she thought I left too much money. I was like, no, that's a tip. And anyway, I learned the hard way. All right.
Every let's see. This person mows the lawn.
Okay, I'm getting strong parentage vibes here.
Interesting. Any ideas for you yet, Jamma?
I'm lost at the minute, to be honest.
Maybe this is also American culture too. We'll see.
Yeah, this could be the American culture. Wait. Go ahead.
This person owns two pairs of the same shoe. And this person has a belly. What do we think? What are our thoughts here?
I'm getting real strong, like, dad energy, dad vibes in this one. So, as someone who is an owner of a dad bod, although I don't have any kids yet, I'm gonna go with the father. That's gotta be a father.
All right. Jamma, what do you think?
I think he's probably got it right there, hasn't he?
All right, well, if it's a tie, Jamma wins. So Jamma wins with his dad.
Oh, okay, all right.
Let's
all
go.
Right.
But so maybe, ref, I don't know, maybe ref. Maybe these are like American.
I was trying to get the concept of it, I think. So yeah. I've got the concept of the game now, yeah.
Yeah, I probably didn't explain it very clearly. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
And listeners should know, I do not know the answers ahead of time. I do not know.
that's true.
Even if I did, I would probably forget them immediately.
I don't know. Are those characteristics of dads in the UK as well?
I'd probably say so. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I had another one too. I didn't say it for the sake of time, but you know what? I'm gonna say it now. Every time you go to a sporting event with this person, they attempt to make a joke and they say, "Oh no, I forgot the tickets," and then they pull out the tickets. Is that a thing that no? Is that a thing dads do there?
I'm guilty of doing that.
Let's go. You're a dad. Nice. That's why I brought it up, because you're a dad. Yeah. That's the theme here. You're a father. I love it. So you had a little advantage on Sean, but Sean, like you said, Sean's got the dad bod. You are a dad.
Yeah.
So I thought this.
So it was kind of. It was an even matchup on that.
That's right. all right, let's get into it. So I want to start really with last season and the injury last season, Jamma. So you were having an unbelievable year. You know, at the time, I think it was the Bolton Wanderers. I think it was an internationally televised match, actually. It was on ESPN over here, which was crazy. It was March. You're third in the league in goals, just having a crazy, out-of-your-mind season. And then, you know, in the first minute, I think it was, you suffer one of the most odd, gruesome, you know, football injuries I think we've ever seen. Just tell us about that moment. Like, what happened? When did you know something was wrong? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was really strange. I think even speaking to the surgeons and the shout out to people out, obviously, Bristol in the hospital, Southmead, who obviously looked after me and all the physio care they've given me afterwards. But yeah, so they hadn't seen an injury like it, or the only closest injuries they'd seen to it, they explained, was from bomb explosions. So, or a car crash. So, strange one. I think my hand just got caught in a really awkward position. The players hit me, and my hand just got caught in an awkward position and obviously dislocated my four fingers, which at the time, obviously, I just remember looking down I knew something. I felt a bit of pain, but your body obviously, I think, goes into shock or survival mode. So I just remember looking and thinking, well, that's not right. So I sat down, called to the referee, and obviously the physio came on, and he said, well, he called for a stretcher. And my initial thought was, I don't want to come off. I want to help the boys.
Wow. Yeah, just pop them back in place. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Exactly. It's just my hand. So, it was
just a flesh wound.
Yeah. It's obviously just a strain. It's obviously such an unorthodox injury, but it was. I've got to give a big shout as well, like I said, to the physios, Tom Shaw, Joe Baker, Ian Weston, and even Dan Sweeney at the time, because he was out injured. And Sweeney sat with me in the physio room until I got into the ambulance and looked after me. So I've got a lot of. I know Sweeney is that kind of character anyway, but got a lot of respect and even more respect for him for the way he looked after me, because. I was okay for about half an hour, but then after about, as it hit half time, I was in a lot of pain, and he was there to kind of comfort me and stuff, which was nice. It just shows the kind of characters we have in the group. That was brilliant.
Sweeney told us, like, the ambulance, like, from our perspective, you know, it's minute one and we think, oh, okay, he's getting carted off. He's getting taken straight to the, you know, straight to the hospital. And Sweeney's like, no, it took forever for an ambulance to get there. And I could not believe it. And they had an ambulance on
at the stadium, I think, right? And Sweeney's like, why can't we just use that? And they're like, well, we need it in case someone else gets injured. We're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Someone just got injured. Like, take them to the hospital.
Yeah, it's the crazy. It's obviously the safety protocols that the club have got in place, or the league have got in place, that they've got here by. But obviously, Sweeney wasn't very happy with it. he was obviously making that very vocal. But obviously, at the time, I just went into kind of, like I said, survival mode, and I was just thinking, right, try and keep yourself as still as possible or whatever, in as comfortable a position to stay out of pain. But like I said, I've got to say thanks to the guys, obviously, looked after me. It was Gareth, the paramedic, who looked after me on the way to hospital, and the people at Southmead who got me in surgery that night as well. So yeah, I've got to say thank you to them as well.
You were out for the season, or so we were told. Turns out we were misled. But anyway, you were out for the season. It's got to be one of the toughest, most frustrating parts of an athlete's career, you know, a prolonged injury. Well, what are some of the life lessons that you learned from that experience, Gemma?
I think a lot of it was probably just the mental side. So first couple of days were really tough in terms of, so it's my hand, I was back. First couple of days, obviously, I was at home, and then I went back into training, but I couldn't do anything because where they'd operated on my hand, it was like I couldn't do any cardio because of the blood pressure or something like that. I can't tell you exactly the reason, but so I wasn't able to do any cardio. So legs worked fine. Obviously, had my hand, it was wired up and stuff. So I felt like, right, I've got 2 feet, I can play football, but obviously I couldn't because of the stuff that comes with it, your balance and obviously holding people off and that kind of thing. So that was just really frustrating. So it's just kind of, biggest thing I took from it was trying to keep myself busy in other ways. So I offered, obviously, at the time to kind of, like I said, the way the people are at the club and staff at the club, they're fantastic. So speaking to Rich Hughes and James Mooney and just the manager at the time and Richard Dryden and Mark Cooper at the time, speaking to them and just saying, listen, if there's anything that I can help with, then obviously just let me know. Because I just wanted to kind of help in any way I could, to be honest, and just kind of keep, at the same time, it would help me to keep busy. And yeah, it's just one of those where trying to keep busy off the pitch, because you're so used to, so focused on football. Like I said, you all you think about is the game, then training, then the next game, and you get into that kind of mode. So when that's all taken away from you, but you still feel like you could give a lot, it's kind of, well, what do I do now? It was just kind of finding ways to keep busy while helping that team in the same vein.
And you did help us because you shocked all of us. You shocked FTR Nation in the first playoff game. You know, we saw the team sheet. Team sheet comes out. We see Jameel Matt on as a substitute, and Sham, not exaggeration. Sham wet his pants when he saw you on the team sheet, Gemma.
Hey, there's a long queue at the pub bathroom, all right? It's not my fault.
So when did you know that you were actually going to be back, and how hard was that to keep a secret?
So honestly, it wasn't until probably a couple of days before the game. So it was really touch and go. Speaking to the surgeon at the hospital, he'd initially said, I think it was 12 weeks. I think I made it back in 7 or 8, it might have been. I think it might have been 8 weeks.
Wow.
I think normally at the hospital they'll see people who aren't professional sportsmen or people who haven't got access to physiotherapy all the time. So they're obviously thinking of later life as well. So they're cautious in terms of the time they'll give you on a return to play. They initially said 12 weeks and my surgeon was really adamant about that. He said 12 weeks. It's like, I kept asking the question. I was like, well, what about if we make the playoffs, we'll have an outside chance. And he was like, absolutely not. And this is where I've got to give a lot of credit to Joel Baker, the physio. He sat with me up because I had to work on getting the range of movement back into my hand. So getting the flexion back and the extension back in my fingers. And there's times where I hated him because he would sit there. he would squeeze my fingers to get the bend and the extension back into it. And then the flexion to get it back like that. And there's times where I honestly hated him and wanted to hit him with my other hand. But if it wasn't for having him on call, I suppose, and him doing it every day, then I wouldn't have been able to get back, because that got me back into a position where the surgeon was happy enough for me to then wear a protective cast on my hand for those 2 games. So big shout out to Joe for that.
Shout out to Joe.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's wild. And so walk us through the second leg. I mean, the whole playoff run was just insane. But second leg, you know, first leg you came on as a substitute. Second leg, just a roller coaster of a game against Newport County. 53rd minute, Nicky Catton scores. We go up 3-0, 3-2 on aggregate, and we're just like dominating. We're like, oh, it's over. We're going to the finals, baby. And then Newport scored two goals in the 70th and 76th minute. They're now up 3-4 on aggregate, and we're like, oh, the dream is dead. Oh, no. And then Jama, 86th minute, out of nowhere, scores the game-tying goal against his old club to send us to extra time. Tell us the emotions that were running through your mind after that goal.
Just kind of, let's go.
Yeah.
It was one of those, I think yeah. the first 15 minutes of that game, I could not breathe. It was the pace of the game was that quick. It was obviously you score two early goals and we were relentless on top of them. I think the first 15 minutes, I don't think they got much of a touch. So it was first 15 minutes, I thought, wow, we're blowing them out of the water here. But you kind of always knew they'd come back into the game at some point. So even when they scored their two goals, the talent we've got on the pitch, like I said, with Olden at the time, Olden Bailey crossed the ball in for me to score. I think Olden was fantastic, because I spoke to Olden. I remember when he came in, and there was times where Olden would try and beat his man all the time. I said, sometimes just if you get out your feet, just look for me in the box. Mm-hmm. And that's testament to him, because he was really coachable in terms of, as a young player, sometimes they want to do their own thing. But all the lads at the club are the same. If you say something to them as an experienced player, they'll take it on board. So as soon as Olden beat his man, I knew he was going to look for me in the box, and he made my job quite easy then, because as soon as he puts a quality ball in, then I can tuck it away. But yeah, it was, the emotions were crazy, because you just thought, right, extra time.
Yeah.
2-0 down from the first leg, we would have taken this before the start of the game. So it was kind of, let's go and we'll give it everything we've got. And that's what we did.
And yeah, you absolutely did. You did give it everything you got. We ultimately, you know, lost 119th minute, but you know, the fans obviously felt deep heartbreak, disappointment, but we just also could not help but feel overwhelmed with pride, because you guys fought so hard all game to overcome that 2-0, you know, first leg deficit, and then to overcome the 3-4, you know, second leg deficit. So I think the overwhelming, you know, sense among all the fans was just so proud of you guys, how you battled back, not just in the playoffs either, but before the playoffs, after the previous manager. So, you know, how are the players feeling just after that battle? Like, what was the sense in the locker room?
Yeah, like, there was a lot of lads who were deflated, really like upset, because to lose that way and to lose the game that way is obviously really gutting. But we kind of had prepared for penalties at that point, and also to lose the game in that way was really gutting in terms of the effort we put in. But I think a few of us lads have been out injured for a little while before, or had been suspension or everything. Evie was suspended at the time, and I think we just kind of maybe just trying to have a bit of energy towards the end of the game. I mean, like I said, Sweden's again, how he played through the full 120 minutes when he had not played for near on 3 months was incredible. So it was that sense of deflation, but I think at the same time we were proud. We were got it, because we, not in an arrogant way, the quality we know we've got in our dressing room, we felt like we should have been in a position to get automatically promoted. And I think a lot of lads would tell you that themselves. But we knew that at the end, in the circumstances we had, we give everything we had. And I think that was the sense when the dust had settled, we all thought, you know what, we lost the game, but what more could we have done? And I don't think, when you knew you did everything, then you can kind of sleep on that and be happy with that.
Yeah, if we were for the exact same way. We had, there were about a dozen of us, the New York City FGR Supporters Club. You know, we're just all packed together in a pub. And man, we could just feel that energy. We just saw you guys giving your all. You know, you, like, seeing Collins out there, just everything about it. Like, we were so, like, amped up by the end. And even though we also felt that, like, heartbreak, it's like, oh, you know, so close. It was going to go to penalties and we have a shot, you know? to have it end at such a late late period in the match. But we felt nothing but, you know, we left the bar feeling really happy. Like, man,
right,
these guys picked up the pieces of such a difficult season with the injuries and COVID, with the match schedule. Like, you know, again, like, we're always optimistic, but you think, you know, do these guys, we know they have quality, but do they have it in them to kind of pick up the pieces after a difficult run? And man, you guys just showed us, like, you showed us that spirit. So we can help but feel happy as well.
And honestly, we were like, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Jamma.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, normally, you know, if you go through a situation like that where you look back and you reflect and you think, what could I have done more? And I think we literally, every player, if they looked at themselves, I'm not sure they could have done much more. So I think, like I said, that's the part where you can kind of, you can be content with what you did. Yeah, so it's just one of those things. Disappointed because, like I said, a lot of the group are still together, but a few of the boys obviously left. Like, lads were alone and stuff. So it would have been nice to have that kind of feeling of promotion, but with them. But like I said, listen, this year's another opportunity, so we'll go for it again.
That's right. Absolutely.
You got the bulletin board material.
That's exactly it. You know, after last year too, that's the other, you know, in addition to pride, we were just excited, like, oh my God, like, this team next year, redemption year, let's go. Like, we were so excited for this year to come, and now it's here. And so, you know, we could talk team goals in a little bit. And I know, obviously, the number one team goal is automatic promotion. But what personal goals do you have this year, Jamma?
I think, like I said, normally I don't normally set numbers straight away. I think I normally kind of, well, if I do set numbers, but it's normally I try to get to 10 goals as quickly as possible, double figures. I think that's always your aim, is to kind of get double figures. So that's kind of normally my aim. But I think, obviously, on the back of last season, I'm settled in the team, so I'd like to obviously try and better last season as a personal goal. Yeah, that's probably my personal goal. But like I said, at the same time, it's more to my game than just goal. So I'd like to just obviously help the team as much as possible, and that's what I'll try to do.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the other assets of your game in a sec, but you're making it you're making it harder for yourself, and I love it. You had a penalty and you gave it away. I love it. You're making it harder. No easy buckets, baby. No easy goals here. I love it.
More will come.
That's right. So, Jamma, what did it mean when you were appointed captain of this side? What did that mean to you?
Oh, it was obviously a crazy honor to be appointed captain in only my second season at the club. Obviously, those times last season I wore the armband, but to get it as like the club captain was something. Obviously, I've got to say a lot of thanks to, obviously, the gaffer to recognise me in that way. But just the kind of, to be chosen just to lead that group of lads, because it's such a talented group, and I can't keep stress that enough, is how talented we are. But it's only, the talent's great, but we need to achieve something to show how good we are as a talented bunch. And I think that's the kind of role I'm looking forward to, is to how we can help the boys. And like I said, yeah, it's just such an easy group to be able to be the captain of, because they're so coachable and they'll listen to most things that you talk to them about. So yeah, it's just an honor, to be honest.
Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And I mean, there was no other choice in our eyes, I think, and most fans. I forget who it was. Someone posted a poll. Maybe it was our guys at the Pot on Top of the Hill, Lori and Ali. But someone posted a poll, like, who do you think should be captain? And yeah, it was like for the fans. And the overwhelming vote was Jamil, Matt. And you know, it just makes all the sense in the world. And we are so proud to have you as, you know, out there leading this club. It's, you're the perfect person for it. And so, you know, Rob made the right decision. And speaking of Rob, what have you noticed so far? What are the biggest differences between Rob and Mark Cooper? And what ways is Rob different from Mark, and really from any other manager that you've had before?
I think with Mark Cooper, I think he was, to be honest, he was a manager I was really impressed by when I came in, because the way he worked and the way he looked at football was not something I've come across before, to be honest. And you can tell he really put the hours in and watched a lot of football and thought about the way he looked at football, made you think yourself, like, wow, there's different ways of doing things, and it all just made sense. And with Rob, it's exactly the same. He's so, like, attention to detail, himself and then Richie Carl, who I've worked under before at Blackpool. Exactly the same attention to details, second to none. I think with Rob, it's kind of, we had obviously the couple of days away in Loughborough, and that was the first time obviously we were able to see how he works, because we were in such a close environment. They would sit still, himself and Richie. They were just literally, if they thought something or something they watched on the clips from training that day, you could see their mind working, and they were thinking of, right, what can we do here? What can we do here? And I said that, I've touched on it before, it's just infectious, because their desire and their love and passion for the game just kind of rubs off on you. I think the biggest difference I've noticed between themselves and Mark Cooper is, I think Mark Cooper was, and a lot of managers are like this previously that I've come across, to be honest, kind of kept himself to himself in terms of, he obviously did his own work and watched his own clips and did his analysis stuff, but he did that kind of thing on his separate, maybe from where the lads were, and then he'd do a lot of analysis stuff on that, and then he'd take that out onto the training pitch and talk to the boys there, and then he'd maybe take himself a step back a little bit away from the lads. Whereas I think Rob Edwards was obviously, I think he's a lot more involved with the lads on a day-to-day basis, in and around the lads, and kind of getting involved with the lads and speaking to them all the time. So that's, like I said, a lot of managers kind of are more similar to what Mark Cooper's like, in terms of they'll have that interaction with the lads, but it's not kind of all the time really familiar with the lads. It's kind of that taking that step back. Whereas Rob and Richie are kind of always involved with the lads and kind of seeing how you are, and just kind of speak to you all the time, and you're trying to get into the lads and make sure that everything's all right. And I think with the modern players and the way players are nowadays, I think that's a really good approach.
Oh, that's excellent. And I feel like we see that, you know, we see the difference on the pitch so far. Anyway, it's been so fun to watch. But
even
let's
with
get
the
back.
Fans, right? Even with the fans, like, we just see.
Yeah.
I mean, to use the football term, we True. See as a manager, Rob stuck in with everybody. You know, it's like with you guys on the pitch. You know, just, you know, making sure you guys are having the open line of communication with the fans. You know, knowing like the twelfth man on the pitch, so to speak. You know, making sure the fans are involved. It's just been awesome to see early in his stint. So.
Yeah,
I think that comes across, obviously, as you guys can see and what he's like, and just from the first conversation, from the first meeting with him, he asks everything about yourself and about your family, and because he wants to know you as a person, to then obviously get the best out of you as a person, and get the best out of you as a footballer. So I think that obviously translates to you guys. You can watch and see what he's like, and exactly what you watch is what you see, and that's exactly how he is.
Oh, that's beautiful. So we want to move back to you here now, Jamma. So we've seen it so many times. Long ball forward to Jamma. Three men draped on your back. You keep them off until you find the pass to the right teammate.
Yeah, really, like, Jamma, you're kind of like that Greek Titan Atlas. You know, he's the guy holding the globe up. We see you holding off these meaty League Two defenders. We can't help but think of that.
Exactly. So what's the secret, Jamma? What's the secret to making that crucial hold-up play just look so easy?
I don't think I always make it look that easy, but thanks, you guys. I think a lot of it obviously comes down to now experience of years of it's not always something that came naturally, to be honest, but I think over the years, obviously, I like to think I've improved at it. And just the years of experience now is kind of you know where to put your body and where defenders might go. So you can kind of angle your body in that way and put yourself in a position to get the better of defenders. So I think, it's just the experience, I think, of playing more games and knowing and also the quality passes from your teammates obviously always helps. So it's a bit of experience and obviously the quality of players you're playing with always helps.
It's weird not, I mean, right now to be talking to you and not seeing somebody hanging on your back.
Can you just get your son in or something? Just
that's
so,
right.
You know, we're a little more comfortable.
Exactly.
I can hear him running around. So he might run in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Let's go, Luca. Is the gym, like, you know, is weight training a big part of your regimen? Because you seem a bit bigger, and I would imagine that would help, right?
To be honest, I tend not to do too much weights. Per se, I prefer to do body weight exercises, more like your pull-ups and your bicep curl stuff are all really nice, and I'm sure your muscles look really nice, but it's not really fit for purpose for playing football. Yeah. So it's more, and that's where, like I said, the sports science team and the strength conditioning team are really good, because the gym sessions they do for us are second to none, and that's why a lot of the players are as fit as they are, as strong as they are, and a lot of times we can overrun teams, to be honest, because of that's credit to them.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. And you mentioned the little man running around in the back. So you are an awesome, you seem to be an awesome dad, Jamma. What's a life lesson you've learned from fatherhood?
I think patience.
Patience.
You've got to have patience.
Yeah.
There's things you expect of your children, your son, and you're not always, obviously they'll have different ideas in their head. You're thinking, you know, just walk down the street and be calm, and he'll be thinking, oh, I just want to run off. So just being patient, to be honest, and you know, like things will always fall into place, and they'll learn at their own pace, and I think that's the same with, like I said, with life. Everything will happen at the right time, and it will fall into place at the right time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So kind of on the back of that, do you have any thoughts about maybe your son one day following in your footsteps? Would you like him to be that, or are you looking for something else and just kind of letting him decide in his own time, using that patience?
Yeah, this is something I've thought about a lot, to be honest, especially recently, because he's joined the football team on a Sunday normally. So he goes to training, and there's days where he gets up and he's like, oh, he wants to play. And there's days when he gets up and he's like, I don't want to play. And I've always said, I don't want to be one of these dads that's like really pushy and, oh, you've got to play football because I played football. So when I do take him, here he comes.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, there he is.
Let's go, Luca.
The little man.
You going to come say hello? Come on.
There he is. Hey, Luca. What's up, Luca?
Look at that hair. Astounding.
Oh, the hair is fantastic, man. Perfect footballing hair, too.
Okay. Come on, let's go. Good boy. But yeah, so I've thought about that a lot, and like I said, there's times I stand aside and I might close the door for me, please, Luca. Good boy. And there's times I might expect things of him, but he's, like I said, he's just starting out and his age group's really young. Luca, close the door, please.
I love it.
There's Biden in the bathroom.
Okay.
I love it.
Can you close the door, please? Go on.
I love it. I gotta say too, I don't know why this is, but it's. Oh, there he is.
You can sit, Luke. You can sit down, but you have to be quiet, okay? You be quiet. Boy.
Or you don't. It's gonna make this more entertaining. I love it, man. I don't know why. When I hear kid, like I can hear adults speaking in a British accent or an English accent, but when I hear kids speak, I don't know, in an English accent, it just sounds wild to me. Is that just me? I don't know.
You have I think that's just you. Well, I mean, he already sounds smarter than us, so you know, I think that stereotype still exists. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
He's just having fun being up late. He's up a bit later than normal because he's on school holiday, so he's enjoying
it. Let's go! It's summertime, nice. Baby! Let's go! Stay up all night. Keep dad up all night. You love to see it. Oh, I love it.
I'm just a bit conscious, obviously, like I said, not forcing it on him, but like you said, he enjoys it in his days. He enjoys it in his days where he's not as keen to go, but just kind of, it's obviously something that I've got quite a bit of knowledge of from playing in. Just kind of, I'll give him the pathway, and if he wants to follow it, then great. If he doesn't, then you know, that's great as well.
Well, he's got the genes from his father. He's got the name Luca. What a name for Flair! And he's got the hair, so it could be in his future.
The ingredients are there. It's just whether he wants to do it. But it's great to see that he's got such a supportive dad there. You know, to be there to guide him.
100%. So Jamma, 31 years old, right? You're 31?
Yeah.
Pushing 32 in October?
Yeah.
More than a decade of playing experience, though, right? A professional playing experience, that is. I mean, even more than that, you know, playing. You know, a fantastic career that just keeps going, Jamma. So I want to know, what is the joy that you find in this work? What keeps you playing?
I think just trying to improve and try to, I suppose, achieve more success. Like I said, had a couple of promotions from League Two, and it's something I thrive on in terms of trying to be at the top end of the league. I think if any league you're in, you want to play and be at the top end and challenge them, because that's the exciting bit. But yeah, I think I obviously came to professional game a little bit later than normal as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little less miles on the clock than some players in terms of that. So yeah, I just kind of want to play as long as possible, and the enjoyment's still there. So as long as that's there, I'll long may it continue.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
long
beautiful.
May it continue. Exactly.
And actually, on that note, you know, a lot of players, you know, retire around your age. In fact, our own manager, Rob Edwards, I think retired at the age of 30. So, you know, at 31, you haven't. Not only have you not retired, but you're maybe playing your best football ever. You know, what qualities do you think have enabled you to like just get better with time?
Yeah, like I touched on before, I think just that little bit of experience and kind of the knowledge of match situations. So there might be something that happens in a game where I'm like, right, I've seen this before. I've been in this position before. I know exactly where to be, when to be there. So it's all about timing. And yeah, I think that, like I said, when you're a young player, a lot of the time you want everything and you want it now. So it's, again, touching on that patience of knowing that once you've played a certain amount of games, you get better with games. And that is, the experience is something you can't buy. So yeah, just that experience of playing, the seasons I've played and the match experiences has made me a better player. And like I said, I feel like I'm getting better and better with as the years go by.
I think you are too. I mean, you're a target man, right? And you're one of the best in the league at that. You know, you were brought in last season for your hold-up play, your physicality, your football IQ, your leadership. But notice I didn't say goal scoring. And yet last year, you know, prior to your injury, you were one of the best goal scorers in all of League Two. So in addition to playing all those other non-goal scoring really, really important roles, you were a prolific scorer too. It was an insane season, you know, from our perspective. And Jamma, I got to be honest, we've never watched you play before last season. But do you think it was your best season, you know, your best season yet?
I think so. I think overall, if wow. I look at it, it's probably probably my best season.
Wow.
And like I said, it's obviously, it was a shame it got cut short with the injury, because I think I was really building up a head of steam in terms of scoring goals and just kind of taking that mantle of helping the team out. So yeah, it was a really good season, but like I said, you're only as good as your last game. So that's gone now, and got to try and the aim is to better that, and like I said, with the squad we've got and the talent we've got in and around the team, there's no reason we can't achieve better things this season.
Oh man, I can't imagine what it would look like if you better it too. Like, I cannot imagine what this team looks like. So what are the secrets, Jamma? Like, What are you going to tell little Luca? What are you going to tell little Dokes? What are you going to tell young Jake Young? Some of these younger guys, like, what are the secrets? What are the qualities, you know, or the values that you live by that have enabled you to have such a long career that just gets better every season?
And Jamma, yeah, you don't have to reveal too many to us. We know you might want to put it in the book later on. You're going to be selling that youth elixir, the Jamma juice, in a couple years.
Yeah,
right?
Sell the Jamma juice.
Yeah, we want that in. We love the insight, though.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, enjoy it. If it's something you have to enjoy it, because if you don't, then I think you'll end up resenting the game, and you can kind of fall out of love with it really easily, because there is a lot of things that people don't see unless you're involved in the game. Kind of the tough times within football, people only see sometimes the good times. So yeah, if you've got to have that enjoyment and know the other side of the game that might come with it as well, and be able to be strong enough to deal with that side. I think if you can do that, then, you know, it becomes, if you're still enjoying it despite those things, then a lot of it becomes easier. And I think, yeah, it's just being able to work on your game, figuring out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and kind of, what's the word now, and projecting your strengths. There might be parts of your game that you know that aren't your strong points, but if you project your strengths over the weak points, then they'll be so strong and outweigh your weaknesses, where people won't even think about your weaknesses. So I think that's those are the things that I'd, if I could tell a young jam, like say a young dokes, that made me laugh. So yeah, that's what I'd say. Just keep working on your game, and like I said, always be willing to listen and improve, because I think there's people who have been there and done it, and you know, history repeats itself in terms of with everything. So if someone's telling you something, it's because they've been there and done it. So history repeats itself in terms of in the game. There might be another situation like I've touched on before. If I've been in the game and something's come up, I know I've been there before. So if you can kind of get that experience from listening to someone, then take it on board.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Great life advice in general too, right?
Yeah. Like
understanding you don't have all the tools. There may be some weaknesses that you have, but, and you've said this about a lot of the lads in the squad, they're coachable. So that willingness to listen to others and be coached, I don't think can be undersold, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's, I mean, the sad truth is, unless your name is Kevin Ellison, every player's career is going to come to an end. Except that guy. I don't know what's that.
Yeah, he'll be playing till he's 68.
We're going to find out that guy's secret. That there's also a Japanese guy. I don't know his name. Maybe you guys do. There's a Japanese guy. He's 54
he's
years old,
50s.
Still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, top league in Japan. I have heard of him. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah,
crazy.
But, like, big shout out to them, because listen, it's incredible to be doing what they're doing. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Right. Unbelievable. They are superhumans, freaks of nature. But anyway, most players, you know, almost every player, you know, your career is going to end sometime in some, maybe your 30s, maybe your high 20s. You know, and here in the States, I don't know if this is the case in the UK, but here in the States, you have a lot of guys who play professional sports for a period. And then when their career ends, they really struggle financially. And you, so you got to have a plan in place. And I know, Jamma, you have a plan in place. You do so many things on the sides. And, you know, last time you were on, we talked about all the extracurricular stuff that you do, the classes that you take, the degrees that you've earned throughout your footballing time. And I wonder, do you talk to some of the younger guys about that, about using this free time to prepare for life after football?
I have done in the past. I've spoken to, like I said, I touched on before. I spoke to Jack Evans on it. He's really, like, switched on. As a young lad in terms of the other side of football. Lewis Thomas, like I said, he's been doing a course in accounting. So there's lads that we've seen in the squad who are doing extracurricular things anyway. And I have heard a few others speak about it. But yeah, it's not something I probably go out there and speak to them unless maybe they ask me. But I'd like to...
Uh-oh.
Playing the drums.
Luca's in the background. Playing the drums. Let's nice. Go, Luca. He's ready for the South Stand. Luca's ready for the South Stand. Wait, we're going to need Luca. We're going to ask one more question after this, and we'll need Luca to, like, play us out. I love it. So get ready, Luca.
But yeah, so, yeah, I think, like I said, I like to think the lads can always come with me if they've got any kind of questions or anything like that they'd like to talk about. So yeah, it's not something I talk to them all, like, unless prompted, really. But I think the relationship I've got with them, like, they'd like, if they'd like to, they'd come to me. And like the PFA over here, the Professional Players Football Association, you know, it's something that looks after players in that way, where they all pay towards courses that you do. So that's obviously a massive help, and it's something that lads probably should look at if like I said, we've got a lot of free time on our hands. So yeah, brilliant.
Oh, that's great. All right, last question here, Jamma, and then we're going to do some rapid fire quick questions to close us out. So, you know, you're in the prime of your career. I mean, it's amazing what you've been doing. And, you know, I hope you end up like Kevin Ellison or that, you know, that Japanese guy. But, you know, at some point, there's going to be a day where, you know, it's going to be time to hang up the boots. And I just wonder, you know, for you, what is that day? What is that sign that you're looking for when you know, like, now it's my time to go?
I listen to quite a lot of podcasts and stuff, to be honest. And I was listening to one the other day, and funny enough, it was Carlton Cole, who obviously played for Chelsea and West Ham and a few other clubs.
Right,
and he was actually on a course I was doing last year.
Oh, wow.
And he obviously had that chance where he had to transition into other things in football. And I think he cut his coaching now. But and it stuck with me, to be honest. And I think it was, he said, when the time comes, maybe where he realised he was standing in the pathway of maybe someone else coming up. So maybe he wasn't giving as much to the team, where on the playing side, and it might have been him standing in the way of someone else standing into it, coming into the place and maybe making a career for himself. So I think, yeah, I think that's kind of the day. I think the day I realized maybe I'm not giving as much to the team as I'd like to give, then I think that would be the time I can probably either take a step back and try to help out in other ways, or like I said, yeah, call it a day then. I said I'd love for it to go on forever, but I'm sure, like I said, there's a time in every professional's career, whether that be football, professional sportsman's career, where they realise it's time to hang them up, and that'll be a sad day. But hopefully, that's a long time.
A long ways away.
It is going to be a long way away. I mean, you need at least 10 more years with us, because we're going to the Champions League, Jam, and we need you to be with us, leading the charge someday, in like 5, 6, 7, 8 years when we're there. So. It's going to be, I mean,
wait, I got to get the Jamma Luka father son on the same pitch.
Monster. Ooh, yes. Like LeBron and Bronny Jr. someday playing on the same team. Let's go. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, Jamma, we're going to do some rapid fire questions and then we'll close out, my friend. All right. So here we go. Rapid fire. So answer just as fast as you can. First thing that comes to your mind. Here we go. Jamma. Rapid fire. Here we go. I'll start, then Sean will go. We'll just alternate. Here we go. Jamma, favorite bald person?
Kevin Ellison.
Let's go.
Love it. Okay. Jamma, what's your weather forecaster name? So we need the name of your first pet and the name of the street you grew up on. That's your weather forecaster name.
Leo Mobley.
Hey.
Let's go, Leo. Let's go. It might be a new nickname. What's your favorite thing to do at a wedding?
Eat cake.
Love it. Okay. Best non-meat filled Jamaican patty.
Ooh.
You a Kalaloo guy? You an Aki guy? What do you like?
Probably, yeah. Kalaloo would be. Kalaloo, yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Let's totally go. Agree. You know, Jamma, where we are, Sean and I live a few blocks away from each other, and there are like two vegan Jamaican places like right by us. Incredible. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, so when you're in the city, Jamma, we're going to take you there. We're going to have some vegan Jamaican patties, baby. Okay. All right. What's the number one thing you yell at the TV while watching sports, while watching Arsenal, maybe?
What are you doing?
I can confirm that. Yes. All right. Jamma, your favorite dinosaur, and you're not allowed to say Roy Hodgson or Neil Warnock.
So is that like an old person, is it?
Old person or any dinosaur. If you can say Velociraptor, you can say T-Rex.
T-Rex.
There we
love
go.
It. Love it.
All right. What non-soccer Olympic sport you think you can medal in, Jamma? And you have to say one.
Say long jump, maybe.
Long jump. Oh, I could see that. Although I was hoping you were going to say gymnastics after that, you know, that assist that you had to Maddie Stevens in this last game. You were like an acrobat flying through the air. That was beautiful. All right, we will wrap it up there. Jamma, man, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for sharing these life lessons, this wisdom that you've gained over the years, man. It's been awesome to catch up with you.
Athletes get a bad rap. You know, I think footballers, you see the footballers on Love Island, you see them on all sorts of things. It's like, but man, you always bring such a philosophical and like thoughtful approach to the life of the sport that we love. So we always appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Jamma. Appreciate it, man. Continued success, man. Keep crushing it out there. Keep scoring goals. Keep doing all the hold up stuff that you do. But I hope you score goals so Luca thinks that you've played well. But man, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Jamma. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, man, and keep killing it, man.
Nah, thank you guys. Thanks, obviously, always supporting, and it's fantastic to see you having me on again. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks so much.
Oh, I love it, Jamma. Jamma, what a bloke, as they say in the UK, shimmy. Oh my goodness.
Top bloke.
Class, brilliant. All the words that they say in the UK describe Jamma, man. Just great dude, just a deep dude, amazing father, amazing leader. So many life lessons from that man, and there's just like no question why he's our captain. Yeah. He had to be our captain. There was
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I always feel bad because I feel like we're taking so much of his time. You know, he's got so many things to do. You know, he's a father. He's in this leadership position. He needs to rest. But man, just his generosity. And I leave every conversation with JAMA just feeling, you know, with a smile on my face and feeling like I've had a great, you know, encounter with someone, with a great human being.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. He's the best. Well, I guess we got to close out here, Shimmy. I wish we could keep talking to JAMA, but we got to close out, Jimmy.
Yeah, we got to schedule these Zoom meetings to last about 5 to 6 hours. So, like,
that's a good idea.
If you set the schedule, then he has to speak to us for that long, right?
That's a good idea. All right, Shimmy. So, well, before we close out, let's quickly talk. We got two matches coming up, baby. Maybe one, depending on when you're hearing this, because this is going to come out Monday, maybe Tuesday. We'll see. But we got Rochdale. We got Rochdale coming up on Tuesday, away day. Currently 15th in the table. We are, by the way, first on the table, baby. We got Rochdale away. Yes. I think it's a schlep, as they say. I think it's a pretty far journey for the boys.
Is it as bad as Carlisle?
But anyway, no. Here, I'll tell you right now. Let me look it up. Google Maps. Here we go. Maps Google from Nailsworth. This is riveting audio for listeners here. Google mapping Nailsworth. Oh, crap. I misspelled it. Even better. Nailsworth, Stroud, UK, all the way to Rochdale. The Roaches. What do you think their nickname is, Jimmy?
The Rochdale Ballerinas.
Ballerinas. Oh, it is.
It is. So, I just feel like they take the M. They're on their tippy toes up there.
Oh, go ahead.
They're on their tippy toes up
there. I like it. I like it. So it's a little bit northeast of Manchester. It's between Manchester and Leeds. It looks like it's about 2-hour, 51-minute drive on the M5 and M6. Ooh. If you just want to take the M5, Shimmy, it's only three. It's more. If you just want to take the M5, it's 3.5 hours, Shimmy.
Nathan, this is a terrible audition for your BBC traffic report audio reel.
Well, Shimmy, I would recommend you take the M5 up to Birmingham, then switch off to the M6 up there. It's going to save you about 40 minutes, Shimmy. You can also...
Look out for Nathan, the new voice of Siri in the UK, 2023.
What an awful pod this is devolved into. Traffic directions.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here for content.
You can also take public transit. Oh, my God, that's brutal. It's 5 hours. You got to take the 63 bus to the cross-country train, to the yellow line, to the northern. Anyway, don't do that. Drive. I think there's a team bus, right?
Better yet, buy the stream on fgr.co.uk. Watch it from the comfort of your home.
There we go. No long trip needed. Anyway, Rochdale. Let's pick a... stop the traffic instructions. I'm going with a 3-0 win. We're keeping a clean sheet finally, Shimmy. We're keeping a clean sheet. 3-0. And who else is going to score but Drippy Dom Bernard getting the hat trick, baby. His first goal for the team, his second goal for the team, and his third goal for the team coming up. Drippy Dom Bernard gets the hat trick, 3-0. Take it to the bank. Gamble responsibly, but gamble all your money on Dom Bernard scoring a hat trick. What do you got, Shimmy?
Yeah, the over-under is 4.5-inch inseam on his shorts, right? I believe. No, man, I'm with you. I think I'm going to back... our boys, I'm going to back, whether it's Luke McGee, whether it's Lewis Thomas that's in goal, to get the shutout. We deserved it, you know, against Walsall, but we're going to get it. But I predict a 2-0 victory.
Okay, all right. And then we got the creepy crawly crawl daddies at home on Saturday. They are 21st in the table. It looks like they've only played one game, though.
Oh, wow.
Which they lost. But anyway... Jimmy, I gotta say, we're off to a hot start, but I don't know how good Walsall and Sutton United are. Actually, Sutton United put up a fight against Salford, so shout out to them. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Creepy crawly crawl daddies, Saturday at home. Cannot wait, baby. I'm going. Another 3-0 win. Dom Bernard gets his fourth, fifth, and sixth goal of the season and of his career.
Wow.
He gets another hat trick, baby.
And the short shrink another quarter of an inch after that.
Yes. But we got to be careful. It's going to turn into R-rated or X-rated TV. But, yeah, Dom Bernard, take to the bank. Back-to-back hat tricks coming up. What do you got, Sean?
Yeah. Hey, if we're at home, at the Nailsworth faithful are gonna come through. That support is gonna continue unabated. I'm gonna go with a 2-1 victory against the Crawley Town Creepy Crawlies.
Ooh, they're gonna score. All right, Shimmy, let's wrap it up there. But before we do, we gotta give a shout out to FGR Indonesia. They have been killing it on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, doing amazing work. So shout out to them. New account, new followers, beautiful. So this Rich Brian is for you guys. Up the Vegan Rovers, baby!
Up the Vegan Rovers, we are FGR.
And you know we gotta...
Raise.
Praise. Damn, yeah, baby. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you soon.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.